Today on Real Radio.
Everybody for fear wants Islam to believe exactly what we believe. Number one, they don't. Ask a Muslim. Jesus, the Jesus of Islam, was he crucified? Nope. You know who got crucified? Judas got himself crucified in Islam. Judas went to the cross. Did you know that? There's a little switcheroo in Islam. But I thought we worshiped the same God. Nope. I thought it was the same Jesus. Nope.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. We're looking at the first 12 verses of chapter 24. It's a record of what is rightly called the most pivotal point in Earth's history. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called And on the Third Day.
The stone was rolled away because people needed to see. People need to know. It's an awesome thing to realize. Dead people have no power. They can't do anything. If Jesus' tomb was the tomb of the man who, many skeptics say, well, Jesus, yeah, he got crucified. They thought he was dead. They put him in the tomb. The tomb was moist and cool. He revived and he got out. You know that's a book I'm talking about. There's a book out there saying he's been revived. He never died. He's been revived. Nah. Jesus of himself said, I was dead. Rome's job was to prove he was dead by stabbing him in the side with that sword after he had died. Dead people have no power. At about 11:30 Friday night, 11, or Thursday night, 11:30 Thursday night, 11:45, doesn't matter. But we got a phone call. A friend of ours was in peril, maybe even dying. She had come close to dying before. And I got up and I drove to Hogue Hospital down there in Orange County off of Newport Avenue and got there. And the doctors were around her and her husband was there and they were making her comfortable and trying to figure out what in the world was going on with her life. She's been battling for a long time. And if you've been in an ER room, it's pretty crazy, you know? And right next to her, 3 feet, this far away, 3 feet, 4 feet away, there's a guy laying flat on his back. I'm going to guess 19, 20, 21 years of age, laying flat on his back. And there's no instrumentation on him. There's no IV. There's no nurse. There's no doctor. There's nobody in his room along his bed. Just curtains dividing us. You know how it is. And as I was standing there, and we're praying, and we're... A nurse comes walking up and takes the blanket and puts it right over him. This young man was dead. He had no attention because he was dead. Nobody was there trying to raise him up. He was dead. He's in eternity right now. And I was thinking for that moment, I'm here. Who am I to him? Who is he to me? But I know something his family is yet to find out. I know something that they don't know. Is he a son? Is he a husband? And where is he in eternity? That kid died and he entered into eternity. Don't think for a moment that when you die, you just go to sleep forever. The Bible says no. We are very much alive after we die in a different world. And it's a world that you can prepare for. In fact, it's a world that you are preparing for right now with or without Christ. You're preparing for that world. Thirdly, under this point, verse 3 is this. Dead people don't get up. It says that they went in verse 3, that they went and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's because, Jack, they stole his body. His body was stolen. You know, that was one of the scribes and Pharisees' concern. Rome set a guard at the tomb so nobody steals his body and they begin to say he rose from the dead. So Rome set a guard. Pilate had a dispatch to protect the body of Jesus. He's risen from the dead. He's not there. Dead people don't get up. Jesus is gone. Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul wrote to the church at Greece and he said, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Church, I need everyone to hear this. In fact, go ahead and leave that verse up there, you guys. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Let me hack up that verse a moment for effect. Keep your eyes on the screen. Number one, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Right now, I hope not, but it's possible, in this room, certainly in the world outside these walls, there are people who believe that preaching is stupid and silly and that your faith is ignorant. Would you agree with that? Don't they tell us all the time? Oh, you stupid Christian. You guys believe, oh, well, you believe in the Bible, you believe Jesus, all this stuff. Yep. Yeah, well, you know what? Your preaching is useless and your faith is stupid. That's what the world says. You want to know why? Did you know they have to say that? You want to know why they have to say that? Because if Christ has not been raised. Now look, you know, I know Jesus has been risen from the dead, and we're going to see him soon. Here's the cool thing. The reason why the rest of that verse means something to you is because you know the front end of that verse. It's not if Christ, we know he has. So preaching is not stupid, and our faith is not in vain. But if you're not a Christian today, what I'm doing is stupid, and what these people around you believe, it's ridiculous. Do you see the defining moment of what the resurrection is all about? If you do not believe in the resurrection, then you do not believe in life. If you don't believe in the resurrection, listen, you have absolute, total fear of death, or you've somehow conjured up a belief system within yourself that if you die, you're just annihilated and there's nothing after the grave. Are you going to trust your story against his, of whom the Bible has been written of, this book, from cover to cover, spanning thousands of years? It's all about him. So you see, preaching stupid, evangelism stupid, the Bible is stupid, your faith is stupid, if Christ is not risen in someone's mind, in someone's life. Go onto a college campus and proclaim, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You're going to get beat up, or at least cussed out. Why? Because they don't believe he's risen from the dead. Christians, we are fools for Jesus Christ, gladly. We'll take ridicule. We'll take mockery. We understand that your critique of us is what you believe, but listen, it doesn't affect us. Because like Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. This is not a fairy tale. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Wow. How fearful? Well, depends on what side of this argument you're on right now. John 5:28. Listen to this. Jesus said it. Imagine. Are you going to believe what I'm going to say right now? Or are you going to believe what you want to think about it? It's not me saying it. I'm quoting Jesus. Check this out. John 5:28. Jesus says, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear my voice, hear his voice, and come forth. Those who have done good, by the way, that good is to believe on him, to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil, to the resurrection of the condemnation or the resurrection of the damned. Can you believe that? Is that radical? Everyone's going to be resurrected in the end, the Bible says. Some to eternal life. Some to what is called an eternal dying or an eternal death. Choose your destination. Now is the time. Now is the moment. R. Kent Hughes from Wheaton College said, and I quote, if this hope dies out in the church, the resurrection, and if it's no longer preached, then that church dies. Because without the resurrection, there is no hope, there is no church, there is no Jesus Christ. Which is an interesting thing when you realize that people who knock on your door will spin to you a different Jesus. Ask them straight up, look, then. This is the way I look at things. Maybe it's the way that it was raised, or maybe it's the Holy Spirit that just does this. But if they knock on my door, do you understand? If they knock on your door, you have absolute authority to do whatever you want to them. They got you up. They're at your door, right? So because they knocked, you open the door and say, hi, who are you guys? We're Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, Jehovah's, fantastic. Just stay right there. Don't you move. Now, you knocked on my door, right? That's right. and you are Jehovah's Witnesses, yes, I am, all right then, and then go for it. You go for it. And you stay on point. It's all about Jesus. You know what? Eventually, you're going to get to the point that my Bible says Jesus Christ died for my sins. I can't get to heaven without him. That he was God come to earth in this world and paid a price on the cross that I could not pay. That God went in my place. He loved me so much. Paid the debt that I could never pay and suffered the consequences of my sin against him by going to the cross. And then on the third day being resurrected from the dead so I can know that I'll have eternal life forever. That's my Jesus in the Bible. Who's your Jesus? Well, our Jesus is a little different than that. Or the Mormons will knock on your door and they'll have another completely different Jesus. Or how about this? Islam. Everybody for fear wants Islam to believe exactly what we believe. Number one, they don't. Ask a Muslim. Jesus, the Jesus of Islam, was he crucified? Nope. You know who got crucified? Judas got himself crucified in Islam. Judas went to the cross. Did you know that? There's a little switcheroo in Islam. But I thought we worship the same God. Nope. I thought it was the same Jesus. Nope. Islam has no sacrifice for their sins. They have no cross. They have no Christ. They have no empty tomb. It's not the same. That's why they need Jesus, you guys. They have no forgiveness without Jesus Christ. But here's my point. Isn't it interesting that Satan, with all of these cults, undermined the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I want to ask you, CSI investigator person, you. Why does Satan agree with all other religions? He'll agree with this. Keep Jesus dead. Huh? Because if Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, then Satan's defeated. That's why there's cults out there, you guys. They all deny the deity of Jesus. That ought to wake us up. That's a very important thing. Second point is this. On the third day, the unbelievable happened. It did happen this way. Verses 4 to 6. And it's a question. Can the dead rise again? Can the dead be raised? And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, that is, these angels, said to them, mark it, this is fun. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6 starts out there, he is not here but is risen. Stop right there. This is great. The angels, these two beings that appear, you got one angel now sitting on a stone, on the rock thing. And that's got to be cool, because you're like, you got a toothpick sitting there. Then you've got these two other angels that appear, and it is a sarcasm. I mean, no doubt it's done in love, but if we were to say it today as it sounded in the original language, it'd be like this. What in the world are you doing here, girls? What are you in the graveyard for? To find Jesus. Why do you seek the living among the dead, you funny girl? Go home. Get out of here. Shoo! They are implying that what they're doing there is ridiculous. You will not find Jesus in a graveyard. He is gone. Wow. Now look, you're going to go to a graveyard and take flowers on a Sunday afternoon. I understand that. Why? Because you are still grieving the dead. I understand that. I get that. But you can't do that about Jesus. We've all been there, but many of us have been there. In a few weeks, we'll be there again. And that is the empty tomb in Jerusalem. And it's so fun because out of respect, you're kind of quiet. It's so cool. Everyone's kind of like waiting their chance to go in. And this, next. Oh man, I'm next. Get the camera ready. Get the camera ready. I'm next. And you go in, and people all go in very respectfully, and then they come out like this. Yes! Oh, man, yeah! One of the best things I've ever seen was somebody from some other group. Everybody's in line, and this tall teenage kid, he didn't want to wait. And he's like this, and he's bouncing up and down, trying to peek over, and he had enough. And he goes up there, and he takes cuts, and he goes inside, and he looks around. And I don't know if it was a stunt or not. If it was a stunt, it was really pulled off well. The kid turns around. He's got this really depressed look on his face. He comes out and he just goes, he looks up to his friends and he goes, "There's nothing in here." And he walks away. That's right. There's nothing in there. You can go to the shrine and the tomb and the box and the bones and the bags of all these religious founders of their religions. Not Jesus. He's gone. Oh, man, you Christians are weirdo. Man, you go to the tomb of Jesus and there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. That's the point. I've been to Lenin's tomb. I've seen him. Socialism, communism. Oh, we gotta do socialism and communism. Let me tell you something. I've seen Lenin. He's dead. He looks really good, though. I gotta tell you. He looks like he's alive. But he's dead. Would you follow someone who's dead? Why would you follow someone who's dead? Oh, no. The one I think you ought to follow is the one who lives forever. What are you wasting your time doing? What are you doing? He's the one. Can the dead rise again? Yeah, the God that I know, he not only can raise the dead, he once died and rose again from the dead to guarantee that he'll raise this dead guy. Oh man, the day that my body dies, you're gonna come to my funeral. I won't be there. I'm glad you'll be there, but I ain't gonna be there. I refuse to come. I'm gonna be with the Lord. You're gonna know, there's Jack's body. Now, you know what? You know, dump it. I won't be there. The Bible says to be absent from that body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, that's Adam, sin came into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Every one of us are going to die. The statistics are overwhelming. 10 out of 10. Because all sin. Did you know that? Little cute Jordan a moment ago holding her up there in that baby dedication. She's so cute. She is cute, but she's a little sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says that when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that spiritual DNA was passed in his spirit to us. See, you have your father's eyes or your grandpa's eyes. Do you have your grandmother's hair? What is it? That's passed through the DNA of the physics. Okay? You have a soul, psuche in Greek. That's the mind. Your mind operates based upon a million different input links, be it how you were spoken to as a child, your chemical makeup, your personality. All these things make up your soul. Great. What about the spirit? The Bible says you are a body and a soul and a spirit. And listen, those things will live in eternity forever together. Just where is your decision? And your spirit, when you hear the word of God go out and you say things in your head, you hear it in your head like this, hey, that kind of makes sense. Hey, wow, that's weird, but man, I could see that happening. And yeah, okay, I mean, I've sinned, I'm not perfect. And you begin to think, did you know what's happening? Your body is obviously alive. Your soul, mind, is alive. But the Bible says you're spiritually dead until you're born again. And your spirit begins to hear that, begins to wake up, begins to move. What? And Jesus is, as it were, calling you out of the grave. And you're housed within yourself. And listen, when you're dead, these things are a mockery because Christ has not risen to you. It's amazing. Also this, can his words be true? Verses 6 through 8. Remember how he spoke, the angel said, while he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man. Listen to this. Jesus had said this over and over again. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Very quickly, church, three verses Jesus said, and these are just three. Matthew 16, 21, Jesus said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. Mark 9, 31, Jesus said, I'm going to be raised again on the third day. Luke 9, 22, on the third day, I'll rise again. John 14, 6, you know it well. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We looked at that verse last week. Why? Because on the third day, he said of himself, I'll be risen from the dead. John 11, 25. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, listen to this, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Then he says, do you believe this? Wow. You guys, we need to rethink life and death. The unbelievable happened this way, verses 9 through 11, and that's this. Can the facts be believed? Can we believe the facts? Oh, yeah. Verse 9 says, then they returned from the tomb and told all, circle the word told. It's fun. It's a fun word. Told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who, circle the word told again, told these things to the apostles. That's the 11 of them. Judas has hung himself. He's dead. Is in hell. Verse 11, but their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Those two words, told, the word in Greek means they wouldn't shut their mouth. Say, yeah, but Jack, they're women, they're talking, and that's not what it means. By the way, ladies, check this out. Yeah, I'm wondering what I'm about to say. I'm wondering if this is why there's more women who attend prayer meetings than men. I'm wondering if that's why there's more women who do our, for example, our call, evangelism outreach, more than men. What's the deal? Women have more of a tendency to raise their hands in worship than men. Did you know that? Men seem to be somewhat sequestered when it comes to these kinds of things. I wonder if it has to do with something like this. When Jesus had risen from the dead, who did angels show themselves first to? Women. Who were the first evangelists to tell that Jesus had risen from the dead? Women. In a culture where a woman's testimony was not admissible in court because they were thought to be a little off, unworthy of testimony. Isn't that sad? That's what men thought, but God thinks different. And they run in there, there's Peter and all the guys. They're all there. A bunch of people are there. We saw him, angels, and they said he rose from the dead. He's risen from the dead. We saw angels, and they announced that he's risen from the dead. They repeated that over and over again to the point where these words are used here. They thought they were out of their minds. Well, the tomb was empty. And you need to match the facts against what's proclaimed. Take the Bible. I challenge any skeptic in the house. Go ahead. Your life's endeavor. Take the Bible. Prove it wrong. When you find something wrong, write a book. Become the first person in the world to prove the Bible wrong, and you'll be a billionaire. So go for it. People have tried, and they only become believers, like Lee Strobel did, and Josh McDowell and others who did.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called And on the Third Day. It's a look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24, a record of the discovery of the Messiah's empty tomb. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this means that we have arrived at the last chapter, and we'll be wrapping up this series soon. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, you may be interested in what we're still making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs, for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and it's really a terrific way to internalize this first-century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to make your request. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.